And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
John Heyman, insider for MLB Network.
Chicago is watching carefully, no question about it.
New York Post columnist, Curb Your Enthusiasm enthusiast.
You hate people.
Well, I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
John Heyman with Mully and Haw.
I'm going to endorse the point where I say you never know with the Cubs, but I'm going to retract the I like the White Sox.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our friend John Heyman. Does such a great job in the New York Post with the MLB Network and joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
We're debating the various baseball in town. The Cubs go into Sacramento, and they have a great series against the A's. Then they come home, and the previously unbeaten Padres, they beat them twice. But then they go through what happened yesterday, where there's a bullpen meltdown. They lose a game, and everybody's back on the ledge, even though they just had a five-game winning streak. Aren't we led to believe these things can happen? You can mess up one day and you still can win five in a row?
It's a long season. I think it should work out pretty well for the Cubs. They are in the by far the better league, but they're in the weakest division of the three divisions. And on paper, I think they're the best team in that division, and their offense looks better than people figured, and Imanaga's doing great, and I think overall, on balance, their talent should win it for them.
Well, I think one of the reasons people feel that way, Kyle Tucker, off to the kind of start everybody in Chicago hoped he would be. Five home runs already, 15 runs batted in. He is one of the best players in the National League, or off to one of the hottest starts. So, John, I ask you this. In light of Vlad Guerrero signing for $500 million in 14 years in Toronto, is that the blueprint for something the Cubs should look at if they are going to extend Kyle Tucker and keep him in Chicago?
I will get to the contract in a second. First, I will say this is lesson number 10,000 and why spring training means nothing. He was 0-for-20 when I got to the Cubs, and he did it a home run in that game. Meanwhile, Cam Smith, the key guy in the trade going the other way, never made outs in spring training, and he's now 2-for-18. So there you go for spring training. It was a great deal, as we suspected, by the Cubs, I do believe, and he is a great player. And I was in the lobby right after Soto signed for $765 million, and there was talk, wow, Kyle Tucker may not get $765 million, but look at the war and all that, and he's pretty comparable to Soto. You know, I do think he is a better comp for Soto than Vlad is as a right fielder. The war is fairly similar. I will say this, Soto has more cachet. Soto has championship. He's been in two World Series. He's done it in New York, which we count. Now that I'm in, since I'm in New York, we still count that as a plus. So I think Soto's going to keep the record. I do think Kyle Tucker is a better player than I love Vlad Guerrero. He's great. He's a superstar. I think Tucker's better than Vlad Guerrero. So there you have it. And Vlad signed back with his old team. Could he have gotten more? I'm not sure that he could have. I think he did great. But he has a year to go, and Tucker will be a free agent. So I think we're looking at, I'm sure, from their perspective, 500 as the absolute baseline. Although I will say Guerrero has more cachet than Tucker. Maybe not by the end of this year if Tucker keeps this up.
Why is that?
Because he's in the same town.
Player. Okay. Yeah, all right.
He's more famous player. I mean, maybe his father was a Hall of Famer. Maybe people think he has more charisma. I don't know, but I do think there is a value in that, and I do think Soto has the most of those three players. I do think there's a value, but I mean, I'm sure the agent's looking at it as 500 is the baseline at this point.
So we talked about it earlier. Why is it that Toronto can finish second in pursuing Shohei Ohtani ahead of the Cubs and then signed a half a billion-dollar contract? And we keep believing the Cubs can't bring Tucker back, and then they finish fourth for Bregman. I'm just wondering why they can't spend the same kind of money that a team like Toronto in a smaller city does.
Well, you have a conservative owner there. I think on every show in the last, 10 years I've been on, I am forced to mention that he's not spending like he can. And, they make a lot of money. Their revenues are among the greatest in the game. Toronto's revenues are very good, too. But the Cubs' revenues, I venture to guess, and I could look this up, I think they're higher. I do think that he's conservative. You have two conservative owners there, one with greater revenue than the other, but he could be spending more. I mean, Bregman, these guys in free agency, the top guys have gotten huge contracts, and he just does not have the stomach for it, apparently.
We're a couple of weeks into the baseball season, John, and you look around and the Padres off to a really good start. Before they got to Chicago, they were unbeaten. The Dodgers are who they are. Just wondered, as you look around the league, what has been your biggest surprise that is unrelated to the torpedo bat?
Well, I would say the Giants, right now they're basically tied, I think, with the Dodgers at the top. Although I do my prediction column in the Post, and I said I picked the Jays as the biggest disappointment, as I do every year. And I picked the Giants this year as the biggest surprise. So I guess I shouldn't be that surprised. They were great in spring training. And I said spring training means nothing, but I do think Adames brings something to the party. You guys saw him up close. I think he's a great leader. I think he's helped that clubhouse. I think they are a good team. Unfortunately for them, a good team in that division may get swallowed up because their competition is fierce. Arguably the three best teams in the National League, which is the better league, as I point out time and again, are in the National League West, and they may not make it in the end, but they're not mediocre like people thought.
John, you mentioned the other side of town, and Bob Nightingale had a story this weekend where he apparently has a contact with the White Sox, but Jerry Reinsdorf, no interest in selling. We know he is not interested in spending either, but I'm just curious, the whole Matt Ishbia, the whole idea that he was going to buy the Minnesota Twins, but he pulled back from that, and he and his brother could be up for the White Sox. It was just interesting reading that there isn't going to be a lot of parts of the White Sox for sale, which is one of the reasons that he was encouraged to stick with the interest in the White Sox. We thought that eventually there would be kind of a sale, that would happen. If a guy pulls out of buying one team to reinvest with another, and then there's no investment there, and then there's no buying of the team, what's going on? Is it okay to be disappointed if you read that, or is that just noise? Is that just
anything new though?
Well, that's my question.
Well, you know, I do believe that Ishbia pulling out means that he is in position to buy the team when it is for sale. I'm not surprised. Everything we heard all along is that Jerry, while he's living, is not selling the team. He wants to keep the team. Now, you know, once he passes, everything you hear, the family prefers the Bulls. Obviously, they've done better with the Bulls. They're treated better, I'm sure, by the fans, the Bulls. And their interest in baseball is not that great, but Jerry is still very interested in baseball. He loves baseball, and I'm not surprised at all that he's not selling the team while he's living. But Ishbia is, he's in position now for when things change.
And he's going to have to be patient, I would think, but I don't think that he would get involved to this degree if he weren't confident that someday he will be able to do what he wanted to do, or else he would not have pulled out of the Twins deal.
Unless Jerry decides to leave town.
Absolutely. I mean, Ishbia obviously has a good relationship, and Jerry has told people that I know that he expects the team will be sold to a partner. This is now a partner with, I think, 10% of the team. He did pull out of the Twins when he was close to buying the Twins. He's a Chicagoan. I think it'll be a surprise if anybody else is awarded the team when the family, Reinsdorf family, does decide to sell.
I'm just curious. They haven't decided to invest, per se. I mean, they've got a lot of young players. Will that change? Are they... You know, they blew a lead yesterday, and I don't think anyone was very surprised or really as disappointed as you'd hope, because I think everyone anticipates it's a 100-plus loss season yet again. I don't know they're making a run at the record they set last year, but I feel like Will Venable is pretty good, and you feel like maybe they got a long-term guy, but I don't know how we feel about this year.
You know, I think things are looking a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to be making a run at the record. I'm with you there. I do think that they're pitching incredibly set some sort of record. I hear with the scoreless games, and maybe they found something with Burke. It seems like Hagen Smith is probably going to be a very good pitcher. Their prospect stash is now above average, which it was in the tank, the worst. So, obviously, I think that Teal and Montgomery – trade for Crochet was the right thing to do. They held out. They didn't make those awful deals the Dodgers were offering. So I think they're on the right track, but it's unfortunately for the White Sox fans and for Mully in particular, it's a very slow track. It's a slow track. It's not happening anytime soon. And Jerry's owned the team now for, almost a half a century, not quite. And I don't think we're expecting him to be spending big anytime soon, particularly with a team that has really no chance to contend this year or probably next year. I mean, I'm sorry to make it depressing, but I will say it's doing better than it was last year, whatever that means.
John, the Cubs spent last week in Sacramento, and they enjoyed their trip. They scored 35 runs in three games. I don't know how they wouldn't, but that ballpark played small, and there were all kinds of other kinds of issues, talking to some Cubs personnel about just how seemingly unprepared Sacramento was for Major League Baseball. And look, moving forward, how big of a concern is this for MLB? Maybe not so much that it's a bandbox and people are going to hit home runs at record rates, but also some of the infrastructure. The internet went down on night one. The post-game media stuff was not exactly smooth. So I just wonder, is Major League Baseball concerned about the situation in Sacramento?
Well, from a personal standpoint, and I haven't been there yet, I will say I'm much more upset hearing about the internet than it's a bandbox. That would not be good for any of the writers. There are some ballparks that are bandboxes, and they'll live with it. It's fortunately, if there are a lot of problems, they're going to be in there at least 3 years, right? So
wow.
They gotta iron out the kinks. I will say I was in Tampa, which is the other minor league park that's being used for major league games this year, and that was prepared very, very well by the Yankees. They made a little bit of money on it, but as a team that's renting to the Rays, but they fixed it up very nicely. It only holds about 9 or 10,000, which isn't great because even the Rays off draw more than 9 or 10,000 a game, and I suspect in Tampa they'll draw better than they did in St. Pete. So that's not great either. So overall, it's not great for Major League Baseball that you've got two teams hosting in minor league parks, but at least the park is good in Tampa. I'm disappointed that you guys tell me that the internet and other issues they have, but hopefully you can fix that. Hopefully, I think so.
How long are they in Tampa? Is that a year-by-year thing?
They're supposed to be repaired by next year, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think it's I think it's going to be 2 years. I really do. I mean, you know, I think they're saying 1 year for sure, but I think it's going to be 2 years before they fix up the drop. And, you know, the whole thing is a mess. That owner needs to sell. I don't think there's any question about it. He's failed to make deals for whatever reason, pulled out of deals, come close to deals for stadiums in Tampa and St. Pete. I think he's now 0-for-4 on this. I know they've done a nice job fielding good teams, not just respectable teams, but generally good teams considering their payroll. But, I mean, you know, it's not a good situation. That is not a small market, even though it's small revenue. They need to get another owner in there to figure it out because he just can't get along with the politicos there, and the fan base is chanting, sell the team. And, you know, that's happened in Pittsburgh, too, and Pittsburgh has arguably the nicest stadium. Tampa's got the, you know, arguably the worst stadium situation now, and an owner that's not been able to do anything about it and doesn't seem to be trying even.
We mentioned the Ishbia pulling out of the Twins sale. Is there anybody favorited now? How are the Poleds doing in terms of selling that team?
No, I don't know. I mean, I guess if Ishbia gets wind that he's not going to be getting the White Sox, maybe he'll get back in. I don't know. But I do think, you know, it's a pretty good sign that he's added another 5% to the White Sox, that he feels pretty good about getting the White Sox. I've not heard on the Twins. I always ask him about Alex Rodriguez since he somehow bought the an owner with the Timberwolves.
Yeah,
he's already there, and he's he used to be at least very friendly with Correa. Maybe that's an in. I don't know. He's got money too, but no, I haven't heard much on it. You know, a lot of times these sales they just don't happen in a very timely fashion. And now, I'm not in this category, but. The market, I don't know if you guys have noticed, is not done lately.
We weren't going to mention that, John.
You did notice.
What happened to the market?
Trying to ignore that.
You know, if you're, you know, let's say you were a $2 billionaire a week ago, you're probably a $1.5 billionaire at this point, right? So, you know, I don't know that anybody's spending a few billion dollars on a baseball team, at least this week. You know, hopefully next week will be better.
So, John, what the heck is wrong with the Atlanta Braves? How do you explain a 1-8 start for that talent?
Shocking. I mean, they underperformed offensively last year. They changed the hitting coach. I mean, I couldn't believe those batting averages. I think it was game 5. I posted a tweet where they were all hitting under 150, 9 guys. And we're talking about good players, Ozuna, Riley, Olsen, Harris. It's shocking how bad they are doing. Profar getting nabbed for PEDs, obviously also not a plus. You know, they're in a tough spot. Philly's good. The Mets are good. That league is really good. It's not going to be easy to get a wild card there. You know, Brian Snitker told me in spring training, the manager, that, you know, he'll see how it's going before he decides whether he's going to want to come back for another year. And if he does want to come back, they will let him. But, you know, at this rate, I'm not sure he's coming back, and I'm not sure they're coming back. But no team has started 0-7, made the playoffs. If one does, it could be them, because obviously they've got Acuna coming back, they got Strider coming back, and these players on that team are much better. But they're in a tough spot in the National League. They were in the American League, I'd say, no problem. They're going to get in, just like Houston got off to a terrible start last year. And a lot of people said, oh, they'll make it back. But I'm not sure they're going to make it back from 0-7 start.
John, you're the best. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up.
Thanks, John.
Great talking to you guys. Stay warm. See you later.
That is our guy. That's John Heyman. It is unseasonably
cold. It is
cold
pretty
today,
chilly. It's supposed to snow. Snow's in the forecast first week in April. Welcome to Chicago.
Snow like at noon or something or 11 o'clock?
Does the time matter? I mean,
yes.
It's just today. Let's just say today.
I know, but it's only like an hour of snow.
It's an hour too long.
Yeah, I agree.
It's an hour too long.
We don't need snow.
Did you hear John Heyman establish the baseline for the Cubs negotiations with Kyle Tucker at $500 million? $500 million.
I stopped listening when he mentioned the market. I just froze again.
Okay, we're going to mention the market and stop worrying about the snow. Come on, what happened to your positivity?
That's going to be the excuse on why they can't pay him the $500 million.
The market? Well, it'll have a lot of people probably making excuses for not being able to afford things.
This can be considered biblical losses.
Well, what time is it?
Yeah. Help.
Ta-da.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I hear what people say. You know, Duke this, Duke that. Duke's great. John Shire is awesome, but don't sleep on Houston. Don't sleep on Houston.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That is the voice of Kelvin Sampson, the Houston coach, telling you after they won, don't sleep on them.
Why did he bring up John Shire?
Because he just beat him.
Well, that was unnecessary. I didn't catch that in all the hoopla Saturday night.
He wasn't dissing him. He was just saying everyone thought they were going to lose to him, and that John Shire is a better coach than he is, and he's telling you,
well, that's,
don't sleep on me.
Yeah, that's unnecessary.
Don't sleep on my team.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that maybe rankles some people about Kelvin Sampson.
That and the fact that he spent a lot of time on probation, five years.
Well, that
years,
too.
And,
that too.
And you don't like him because he... He was at Indiana just texting people like a lunatic.
Yeah, he did that as well.
That's how we got on probation.
Why bring up Shire? I mean, he outcoached him.
He outcoached
Congratulations.
Him.
And I think that they'll have a great challenge tonight, Houston and Florida. That's going to be a fun matchup against a team built on defense.
Who's the better coach?
Well, it's Kelvin Sampson.
He's the best coach.
Yes.
Left. Okay.
Yes,
I'm not arguing.
He's the reason why you would give Houston any kind of chance tonight. He will not let his team give up. He will not let his team relent, and they will keep coming at you aggressively and find a way to defend Walter Clayton Jr. If it requires 1.5 defenders, 2.5 defenders, I think they'll probably go into this committed to not letting him beat them.
Yeah, I think that's got to be their game plan. But I don't know if they can pull it off. Here's the thing, like Golden was a guy that like has a background with Bruce Pearl, but he did a great job in San Francisco at the University of San Francisco, and then is hired to Florida and has done a great job.
He put his heart into that job in San Francisco.
Yeah, he left, but he didn't leave it there. He brought it with him to Florida.
College Hoops coverage here on The Score brought to you by Bet365. No, I think he's a very worthy national championship coach if Florida ends up winning, because he's representative of what today's college game has become about, and it has become a younger man's game to some degree. A lot of the young coaches who have been able to mine the portal and...
What? I was going to say, how old is he? Is he 39 or 38?
I think he's 39.
And
I don't think he celebrated his 40th birthday yet.
No. And how old is Shire? 38? 39?
Yeah, same-ish.
Same-ish.
Yeah.
He would be the youngest coach to win a title since Jim Valvano when he won with North Carolina State.
That's a tremendous nugget.
He was 37 when he won that final with North Carolina State.
Oh, 1983.
And
this is it.
This would be the
yes.
And who did they beat? Who did they beat then?
I think Georgetown.
Houston.
Didn't they?
Houston.
Oh, they beat Houston? I don't remember.
By Slamajama.
Was that right?
Yes, sir.
I just remember what a shocker that was.
I believe that was the first year the NCAA tournament installed the three-point line.
Really?
And NC State took advantage of that. That was their thing.
Derek Wittenberg, Sidney Lowe.
But then the
legendary backcourt.
They whiffed on a three-pointer, and the air ball caught. And
Lorenzo Charles.
Out, right? Lorenzo Charles.
And the rest is college basketball history.
And if Kelvin Sampson wins, he will be the oldest coach ever to win a national title.
Yeah.
Now, help me. Is that the first time? Or, you know, I don't remember. Was John Wooden, not in his, mid-80s when he was winning the 14th straight or whatever?
He just looked it. I don't know that he was.
I don't know that he was.
Yeah, I know.
John Wooden's age at the last time he won a title. But Kelvin Sampson has a chance to do what no other coach his age has done.
Yeah.
And if he does so, congratulations to him. I think Florida ends up winning. If he does...
Don't fall asleep.
Pull the upset. If Houston does win, I think number two things I guarantee you to happen. I hope that Akeem Olajuwon's allowed on the floor to celebrate.
How did they not let Olajuwon?
That's
Who did
ridiculous.
They think he was?
The NCAA.
Nance probably had an easier time getting up on the court than Olajuwon did.
And he's going to cry if they win. He's going to cry. And he's.
But is he going to cry because it's his alma mater? Is he going to cry because it's his alma mater and he's not on the call?
No, that's ridiculous.
You stop it. He's like, oh, college basketball is Jim Nance. College basketball. Oh, well, then why is he still doing golf if that's his most recognizable sport?
That wasn't what I was going for.
What were you going for?
The fact that he was excellent on college basketball, and if he was going to decide to step away from something, I suggested he step away from the NFL.
I, for one, am glad. This is maybe upset you, Dustin. I know you're very, very reverent of Jim Nance and all things related to the guy who calls the Masters. But I, for one, am glad he's not calling tonight's game. As a Houston fan, if he's invested enough emotionally to cry,
if he's weeping,
I'm glad that he's not calling tonight's game. I do not want any of that weepy stuff. If they
get
end
that
up
weepiness
the
off my TV,
yeah, right? Give me a professional broadcast.
Listen,
thank you,
nothing,
Ian Eagle.
Ian Eagle's great.
He is terrific.
There's no
he
question.
Is terrific.
He's
why are you bad mouthing him?
Not at all. I just said.
Do you
Ian
miss
Eagle's
Jim
great.
Nance?
I do.
I don't.
Watch the Masters.
I will.
He will, by the way, did you see that? Everyone should be so lucky to say they're going to retire in 11 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk away in 11 years from this job that's paying me handsomely. I'm the Jim Nance in his case. He says he's going to retire in 2036.
Because that'll probably be his X number Masters.
Isn't that wildly optimistic, though? I mean, 11 years at this stage of anybody's career, if you're 65 doing your job at a high level still, but I get it. 11 years out, you're going to announce your retirement?
I mean,
that's optimistic.
He probably gets asked about it constantly.
Well,
right?
I know.
Like, when are you going to? So here you go. I'm done answering that one.
Okay.
Some of our texters are so mean.
Give me an example.
I'll give you an example. Here's a guy who says, Kelvin Sampson has always been a creep who has a persecution complex. Hope Houston gets shut out tonight.
Wow, that's a pretty mean one. That's pretty mean.
Shut out?
Yeah. People look at the text line as like an expression sometimes of their vitriol. They just like let it all out. You know, they just kind of just vent and unload.
He's always been a
guess
creep.
That's why we're here. But yeah, that's pretty mean. I don't have that kind of disdain for him.
Lifelong creep.
I don't have that kind of rancor for any coach. I just feel like if he doesn't win tonight, I'm not going to be sad for Kelvin Sampson. I will be happy for the best player in this tournament this year, Walter Clayton Jr. He's been the one who has risen to the occasion. He's been the one who's most likely to be the face of one shining moment.
He's been phenomenal in this tournament.
Phenomenal. And I saw this reference to an NBA scout in one of the .coms over the weekend. Nobody in this tournament has improved his NBA stock more than Walter Clayton Jr.
I mean, he's now Wade Cunningham, if you can believe it.
Okay.
Never mind. Don't even ask.
That was an intentional faux pas.
He's not Wade Cunningham.
Is there a comp,
some of the great men
is there a quick comp for him?
No, Wade Cunningham is significantly
taller. A quick comp? I gave one earlier. You didn't like it.
Who?
Didn't like it. Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray, shot maker. I know he's 6'5", 6'3". I'm talking shot maker, clutch, shot clock's down to 5. What are you going to do? You shoot a 3. Boom.
How about Trey Young?
No, too tall. Different player. I don't know. Trey Young's probably, maybe not terrible. Not a terrible comp.
Much balder. I'm making a joke.
Do you think, could he not be as good as
Trey Young? Yeah. I think that's a possibility.
Not, that'd be his ceiling?
Not the pure shooter.
Yeah, I think Trey Young could be the ceiling. Trey Young coming into the NBA was more accomplished even than I think.
But we've seen
Clayton
it before.
Is.
I mean, general managers in the NBA fall in love with a guy or two from the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
And I think he is this year's example.
He is this year's example. That's a good point.
Phenomenal tournament.
Yes, he has.
I mean, he really has been the best. And the idea that he's the first guy since Larry Bird in 1979 to score 30-plus points at the two biggest stops along the way to the championship.
By the way, tonight, he can't have 15 tonight.
He's going to need 25-plus.
Yes.
By the way, Larry Bird, that's a great comp and reference. You know I love the connection there. But Indiana State lost.
Larry Bird's 6'9".
And Indiana State lost.
And Larry Bird, significantly better pro than anyone from that 76 Indiana team. Let's just get that straightened out.
Okay, why? Why are you saying that?
Because he was on it. Because he started his career on that team and left school.
Why are you choosing to disparage the best team in college basketball history?
If you're making fun of Kelvin Sampson because of the Indiana connection, I'm just saying Birdman started out at Indiana, left that team, and wound up with a better pro career than anybody on that team.
He also lost to the NCAA championship game to Magic
Michigan
Johnson and the Michigan State Spartans, had a better NBA career than Larry Bird.
Did you know who – you think Magic had a better career than Larry?
Yes, probably.
He had more titles, but he played, Showtime. I mean, I don't know. It's a really good thing to talk about. I think, though, that what's really interesting to me is that magic, if you read that, who wrote the book? There was one of these books. They said that magic in a practice on the way to the championship game, like their final practice, he played Larry Bird. And they said that he made every shot he attempted in that practice.
Mm-hmm.
He was like taking all these off-balance, crazy shots. He was trying to be the one-man gang in a practice against his teammates so that they could prepare for Larry Bird, and apparently did an impersonation that was unbelievable. It's like akin to when Kareem was out and he took over as center in a championship game.
Magic took over his rookie season against the 76ers.
And he actually made a sky hook.
He did.
And they won that game, and they won a title.
Everything they needed him to be every time.
They said he did the exact same thing playing Larry Bird.
6'9" point guard, could have played power forward, did play center in a pinch. Great player.
No question.
Also, back to our point earlier, I mentioned that Pat Boyle on the CHSN post game said that, and it was talking with Tony Granato, they said Wayne Gretzky is the greatest ambassador for his sport in any sport. And I think that's a great debate because the only other guy I could come up with, Magic Johnson.
Oh, that's interesting.
Magic Johnson does as much for the NBA, I think, or basketball, as much as Wayne Gretzky has done for hockey. So when Pat Boyle said that, it really made me think because well, who would that be in baseball? Not really anybody that comes to mind that's an obvious ambassador. Well, who's that in football? Well, Tom Brady, the greatness, but really he can still have some detractors for whatever reason, jealousy, otherwise. Gee. But Magic Johnson, universally, I think, sells the game, sells the sport, represents what you want in the NBA as anybody
but
Gretzky.
And we also mentioned that Wayne Gretzky lost the goals title, but will have the scoring title forever. Because he's got like an absurd number of assists. He's got so many points, it's like beyond human comprehension. He was just such a great offensive player. It's almost beyond
good belief. Announcer, terrific ambassador. Interesting that, but that's a small select group. You know, Gretzky, Magic, Brady. Yeah, I don't know who else would fit that category in baseball. Who's the greatest ambassador for baseball?
Well, who's the best player?
Who's the greatest living ambassador for baseball right now? Who would be the guy that would get the standing O if it was introduced at the pitcher's mound before the All-Star game? Ken Griffey Jr.?
Possibly. That's mine. I don't know what Dustin's going to say.
Derek Jeter.
That's a good one, too.
That's a good one.
Hmm.
I can't even – I got to think about that. No one jumps out like Gretzky.
Right.
Or Magic, for that matter. But I do think Gretzky is number one.
I say Peyton, too, for NFL over Brady right now. As an
Peyton
ambassador.
Manning.
Yeah,
because
all
a good
the shows.
One.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's a good one. I didn't think of him initially, but I think that's an excellent one. He cuts across. He has universal appeal.
And nobody really says, like, that he's bad at his job, right?
Right.
Peyton.
Right.
No,
he's very good at all his jobs.
All right. Well, we've got our colleagues next. We're going to talk to Marshall and Layla, and we should let you know that Transition on 670 The Score is brought to you by Webb Hyundai in Highland or Merrillville, Indiana. Get the vehicle you deserve at the payment you want at Webb Hyundai. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.